Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, guys? Don't forget to sub to Patreon so that you can see the visuals. Because not only do we have episodes of the podcast, we have exclusive content that nobody else sees on any other apps, behind the scenes, photo shoots, and we're dropping a whole bunch of surprising stuff this year. So if you guys don't want to miss out and you want to be the first to know, go over to our Patreon, www.dumbblondeunrated.com. Love ya. Is this thing on?
Bonnie, who used to be a former sex worker and now hosts the podcast Dumb Blonde.
Most little girls grow up wanting to be doctors and lawyers and shit. And I was like, I want to be super hot, make a lot of fucking money, and be a rock star's wife. That was my goal as a child. And here we are.
What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Dumb Blonde. Today, I have TikTok's spiritual advisor, Amy Bolesky. How are you doing, baby? Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah, you did. You did absolutely.
How are you doing, baby?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. It's been a year.
Dude, it's been a long time in the making.
I know. It has, since last October.
Yeah, our schedules have been just fucking insane.
I know. Everybody's.
You are busy.
All the time.
Literally.
All the time.
Talking to dead people every day.
Teaching classes, teaching people how to talk to dead people as well.
What is our class of teaching people how to talk? Can anybody talk to dead people?
Anybody can.
Really? You don't have to be born with a gift?
Well, no, because you are spirit inside of a meat sack.
Right.
So it's just getting back to what you are, and you have to figure that out, because in our normal daily life, nobody teaches you how to do it. And then after that, what do? They teach you it's scary, or they teach you it's bad.
Right.
You know? And so it's about teaching you how to, like, ground yourself and feel the environment and the earth and spirit and everything around you.
That's insane, because I always thought that you had to have a gift.
I mean, it's there are things that can, like, supercharge it, right? There are things like if you have a near-death experience, right? Or certain signs like Scorpio or a lot of Cancer or a lot of Pisces and stuff like that. Or if you've had a lot of, like, trauma or tragedy or anything like that, it can kind of, like, kickstart that. Why? Because you are more sensitive, right? You're more into your feelings. You're more into feeling your environment. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what it is.
That's crazy. So growing up, I found out, because I've always had a thing, like a sixth sense.
Yes.
And always seen spirits and always, like,
and you can feel it in people.
Yeah, no, always. Mm-hmm. And I found out before my mom passed away that I come from a long line of white trash witches from Kentucky.
There you go. Yep. Uh-huh.
I was like, she's like, we all had gifts. I'm like, no wonder you guys are all drug addicts.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Literally.
Did you know most mediums and people that do this, what do you see? They smoke cigarettes because they calm their anxiety, or they drink a lot of alcohol, or they do drugs, because it almost everything, you can feel everything. Like, even the lights that you have on here right now are very jarring, personally. Yes. I mean, I know nobody really likes them, right? But, like, it's like an umpteenth degree at the same thing. And so when you're walking around, you're feeling everybody's feelings and emotions in the room, or, like, all everything's vibration. Mm-hmm. You just kind of have to, like, try to mute that. That's why I'm sober.
Yeah, well, so that makes a lot of sense, because I walk into grocery stores and I can't handle the lighting.
Absolutely.
Like, I just told her before, when you were in the bathroom, I was like, these lights are just killing me. Like,
terrible.
I can't see. Like, it's really brutal.
But there's some people like him that it doesn't bother.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. When I was a drug addict, my drug of choice was Xanax, because
downer.
I'm just riddled with anxiety.
Absolutely.
So I was always, like, seeing shit and ever since I was a kid.
Did you know your anxiety also means that you are more tapped into spirit, right? And you're probably feeling around, and also because you're dealing in music and I mean, even think about the music that your husband, that Jelly does, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of very high emotion, right? Yeah. And so that in itself is a vibration, and you know, all the friends that were around him, all the things that he did, there's all these certain vibrations that come with it that essentially you feel, and it can make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
No, and you don't even realize it.
Yeah. Well, I realize it now, and we'll get into that, but oh, yeah. I want to find out, let's bring it all the way back to your childhood.
Okay.
So where'd you grow up?
Houston, Texas.
Oh, you're from Houston too.
Yeah,
I'm from Houston.
I know.
That's amazing. I think you did tell me that before.
But what area in Houston?
Around Buffalo Speedway.
Oh, you're over there. Okay. I'm down in
the rich people.
Baybrook. Down Baybrook, NASA area.
The rich people. You didn't even have to say it.
But I was thug nasty though. I grew up, I went to school in Pasadena.
Oh shit.
Yes, because that's only where they had orchestra.
Wow.
And so I was an orchestra nerd. And so I grew up in by the bay, but then I was on transfer to that school. So that's how I learned Spanish.
I love that. That's amazing. Yeah. As a child, did you always have this gift of knowing and
There's a couple weird stories that go with that. First off, you know, when you're a kid, you naturally have this gift, right? That's why you see, you know, mm-hmm. people that aren't really there. You're like, oh my God, I saw my grandfather. Well, you do anyways. But I had cancer when I was 5. I lost my right kidney, part of my intestines, and part of my liver from it. And that was my first near-death experience. And then after that, I started seeing and experiencing spirit. And I can remember, this is one of the earliest vivid moments, is I remember being in the grocery store Randall's. I'm sure you remember the name Randall's.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And I was in there with my sister and my mom, and I was sitting on the bottom of the cart, you know, as a kid, huddled under down, and my sister's on top. And I remember we were stopping, and my mom was looking at noodles or something. And on the other side was the coffee aisle. And I was looking at a woman, and I remember looking at her, and I could hear her thoughts. And I was like, she's going to get that one. And she grabbed it. Wow. She put the one back, and I looked up, and I remember, I think I was about 6, and I remember asking my sister and my mom, can you do that? And they were like, no, what do you mean? And I was like, oh, this is on, you know? Yeah. And then it just kind of continuously progressed from there.
So your gift was being able to read people's thoughts? You didn't see spirits, or did you see spirits?
Oh, see spirits at the same time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but remember, it's about an intention. You're feeling an intention.
Right.
You're feeling a thought, a feeling, an emotion. Now, whether I read her thought, I don't believe it was her thought. What it is that we all have spirits around us, right? Mm-hmm. And you always have your higher self. I mean, and even something that you want, that you love, right? That attention, that is, you know, you're going after it, so you can feel that vibration of what they're going to pick,
right?
Essentially,
right?
And so whenever you're reading for somebody, you're not reading their thoughts, you're reading their higher vibration, or their higher self.
Going through cancer at such a young age, you talk about it so casually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what else are you going to do?
I love you.
Else are you going to do?
You're a bad bitch.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I'm a bad bitch. Exactly. No, I mean, I had it.
She's like, we don't show emotions over here.
Exactly. We do. We do. But I cried enough. And I'm not back there.
Right.
I'm not back in that time. And if I hadn't had that shit happen to me, I wouldn't be here where I am now.
That's profound. We need to clip that, because that's actually really, a lot of people need to hear that. I'm not back there.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people who deal with trauma, and all they keep doing is repeating it on a loop.
And that's a cycle. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the whole thing. My favorite phrase is, you know, you need to live in the present moment. You need to live in now. Why? If you have a lot of anxiety, it's because you're living in the future. If you have a lot of depression, it's because you're living in the past. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry, honey. Life doesn't happen back then or in the future. It's right now.
Yes. And that has been my biggest lesson this year, actually, because I realized that too. Mm-hmm. And I've never been a depressed human. I only dealt with a depression after I had a miscarriage in 2020.
I'm sorry about then.
It's okay.
I get that.
And but I've always had anxiety, and I was always like, I've got to stop future tripping.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helped me tremendously to try to be in the present moment, because I'm like, I don't want to worry about what's going to happen fucking 10 minutes from now. I just want to enjoy who I'm with, what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, so now my anxiety only flares up if I get super stressed out, like the shit with my dad.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that.
I know. And that's natural. Do you want to know how to be in the present moment?
I would love to.
You ready?
Teach me, yeah.
Okay. Do it. Okay. So focus just right now. Focus on what the mic looks like.
I'm just kidding.
There you go. Grab it and lick it. No. Just focus on what the mic looks like.
Okay.
And then take a deep breath in. Breathe out. Just focus on that. not on anything else that's going around you. Boom, you're in the present moment.
It's grounding.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I did last night. I was having a panic attack on the way to the hospital I leaned forward into the vents and I was just like, what can I look at? So I had my water, my trusty fucking water bottle. Yeah. You guys need to sponsor me. Mountain Valley spring water.
They do. They're everywhere.
Literally.
Boom.
They're littered everywhere in our fucking bus. And I just focused on my bottle and I just did my breathing and stuff like that.
Good job. Well,
thank you so much. So let's rewind it back to your childhood. Okay. So you went through the cancer thing. Mm-hmm. You started realizing that you had, you know, this gift at a young age. Your mom and your sister weren't tapped into theirs.
No.
At all.
No.
They were just hanging out in their meat suits.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody goes, oh my God, did you have people that were, you know, mediums in your line? So everybody said, no. Right. And that wasn't a thing. And we didn't realize until I was probably about 17 when we got this fun little diary from my dad's grandmother over in Russia. Anyways, we're Russian Jews. So my aunt, I guess you'd say decoded essentially, or like changed it into English, right? And we found out that she was called a white witch.
Wow.
Yes, but this was back in 1888.
Yeah.
So that is the only sign that we have from that.
Wow.
That's it.
I feel like it was so prominent back in the day. I feel like everybody, now it's starting to be like a cool thing to be a witch nowadays. But for a while there, it was very hush-hush. And a lot of witches, like Stevie Nicks, she's been a witch for a long fucking time, but couldn't talk about it.
No.
Still doesn't talk about it. She's an OG. But
it's
like, I feel like it was so hush-hush back then. And that's when it was like prominent.
Well, Craig, do you know why though? Because we didn't have as much stuff to do. Right. We had that time to focus and calm down and breathe and feel and realize that you're connected to everything.
So keep taking me on this journey of your childhood.
Oh, turn you on journey. Okay, so 5 years old, had cancer, had fun. Had fun. You can only deal with it with sarcasm. Right. So had chemotherapy for 2 years. Lost the whole hair thing. I mean, the whole nine yards. I
was young age. Oh, yeah. That's a lot of trauma.
Yeah, oh, it was. Mm-hmm. It was, but... I made it through and it was good. Then my best friend ended up getting it that at the same time. We were actually in the hospital at the same time.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Oh, I know. He ended up dying from it.
Oh my God.
And so he has kind of like been around me for forever. It's weird. You just kind of like see things, experience things.
Maybe he
things.
Was one of your spirit guides.
Well, and
just came to visit.
That was probably one of the things. And, you know, I guess until about 10, it's all just kind of normal after that. I don't really recall a whole lot. And it wasn't until I was around 11 when I started having those things where, you know, you talk about it and then it happens, right? Or you have these things where you think about a person and they show up.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time now. Ask me. It's crazy. Yeah. I predict so much shit that goes down.
Because we're all in line with it.
I literally will say, I want this, and it happens.
Yeah, do you know what that is?
Manifestation.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So do you know how it works?
Well, I mean, I just say I want shit and it fucking happens, but I believe it.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
what I tell everybody. I'm like, before I even had a hit podcast, when Mimi and I first started, I was like, I'm going to have my own radio show. I'm going to be the female Howard Stern. I'm going to, you know, which with that trajectory is kind of curved a little bit because of the whole Me Too movement. Stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So the Howard Stern isn't who I aspire to be, but it's like, I'm going to have my own radio show. I'm going to get millions of downloads. I'm going to chart. Da, 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 da. It all happens. And I really believed it.
No, it's belief, and it's because your heart aligned with it, your soul aligned with it, and then the universe reflected it back to you.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, that's how it works. That's how this works. That's how you works. That's how he works.
Yeah.
You know, all of it. We're all here because of that. So back to childhood then. I didn't really have, as I can recall, not a lot of crazy things happening. I mean, in the midst of all of this, you know, cancer, blah, 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 blah. We didn't know I had this, but I used to walk around and my kneecaps would dislocate and my hips would dislocate. And
I just got goosebumps.
I was weird. And I was never able to be in sports or anything like that. And getting to be about 16, I had my second near death experiences. And then I started really channeling for like people at my school, people in my high school, teachers and stuff like that.
What was your second near death experience?
I had bacterial meningitis. And it went up and, you know, it causes swelling in the brain. Right. And so anyways, I went to the hospital, coded, you know, stayed there for 4 or 5 days, came out, and I just began channeling for people. And I grew up in Pasadena. So what was there? A lot of, there was a lot of shootings, right? There was a lot of people dying in car wrecks, you know, all gang these crazy members. Things. Yep. Gangs. And so
where my sister lives.
Yeah. Oh, see, yeah, you get it. And so I would go around and I would read for the families, or I would read for the teachers who lost their family.
Age.
Yeah. Like 16, 17, 18.
Were you charging people or
no,
you just,
I was just doing it. I was just doing it for free because I didn't understand it. And so gradually people started coming to me like, hey, Amy.
Do you think whenever you coded that, can you remember anything from that?
I can't remember from that one. Mm-hmm. No, I just remember getting out of it and having the profound feeling of like oneness.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That was it. It was just almost like I...
Was it peaceful?
Yeah, it's very peaceful. Oh, I'll get to one about dying, like, and how it felt, like the whole nine yards.
Oh, shit. I'm ready.
That's number four, though.
Oh, and
that's
my God.
Last one. Oh, there's
like
a whole
damn
thing.
Cat,
yeah,
bitch.
I am a cat. Yes, yeah, yeah, exactly. No, it's weird. And so that was one of the things. And then we move forward. I get married. I have my child. I'm 20. Okay. I get married.
So like 16, you're doing readings for everybody. Everything's okay.
Yep.
You beat the meningitis.
Yep. I beat the meningitis.
Graduated
Everything's good.
From school. Did you stay in school?
Yep. Graduated from high school, went to college, finished my associates, met a guy, my first husband, got married to him, told him what I did. He told me it was evil.
I was going to say, how is it dating people being a spiritual advisor, psychic medium?
Well, we happen to have somebody right over here that can tell you all about it.
We'll get to him soon. Yes. But like, does it freak dudes out? Are they like, no, bitch, I do not want to deal with this.
Okay. So that I was back then, you know, I didn't fully know it. I was doing it, but they didn't really get it either. Right. And when I would do it, I wouldn't do it with them in the room because it's kind of, you know, you do it with your client. Right. That sounds weird when I say that. But anyways, you know what I'm saying?
I've done it with clients.
I've done it. I know. Right. Me. I know. So I would tell them and they'd be like, oh, OK, cool. You know, you're like a 17-year-old boy, whatever. Right. But my ex-husband, he grew up, he's half African-American and half Thai. Mm. And so they grew up in a very Southern Baptist Louisiana family. And so they would tell me I was going to go to hell for it. And I'm like, how can you do this and go to hell if it's the next thing to God? Like, it just never made sense to me. If it's all about love and that's what it is, why are we putting
spreading
the fear
light.
Into it? Yeah, exactly. And it's helping people and it's helping me too at the same time.
I feel like Jesus kind of was like that in a way.
Jesus was that. Yeah. Jesus was a higher, came into a body. He was God, came into a body. Everybody's God that's in a body. Okay. Even you, that's why we create. Anyways. So he came into a body. He started aligning himself with light and realizing what it was, realizing what all this stuff was. And then Pontius Pilate was like, hey, I want you to be a part of like this Roman thing and I want you to love Zeus. And he was like, no, I'm not. And then the Jews were like, hey, I need you to do it this way. You're making us run out of money, right? Because everybody starts moving on with the whole Jesus thing. And they said, we just got to nix them. Mm. And that's what they, you know, that's what they did.
It's kind of like what the government does to people now.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Oh, that's a whole, yeah.
That's a whole nother podcast.
I know. That's a whole, oh, we can talk about that. That's a whole nother area. But, you know, I met him and he really didn't care for it. But at that time he ended up going to the Air Force and, and I moved with him. And I became kind of like the resident Air Force medium. So nice. I would go and I would read for everybody. And anyways, in the meantime, I ended up having my kid. And then I ended up starting to have a lot of issues.
It's okay.
It's okay. A lot of issues. And I didn't know why.
What kind of issues?
Oh, bad ones. Like my vagina falling out of my body.
Oh.
like bad.
And this is after you gave birth.
Oh, after I had a kid. Like, have you ever sneezed and your asshole falls out? Like, that's a whole nother thing. Okay.
I can't wait for those times in life.
Oh, just wait. Oh.
I can't remember. Are there any diaper? I had to make you laugh. Yes. Are there any fucking diaper sponsors? Because we can. I'm gonna manifest a diaper sponsorship.
I know. Please, yes, no. You put on a glove and you shove it back in. Aww. Anyways, like these crazy things. And so I started going to doctors, and they were like, "Oh, you're too young for all this. You're like 23." So I started doing all this research, and I was like, I started thinking, I was like, why is it that my kneecaps pop out? Why is it that I have this crazy stretchy skin? Why is it that all of my joints bend backwards, right? This doesn't make any sense. Why is it that all this stuff is happening to me? And I ended up being my own advocate. I ended up being my own advocate, and I wrote everything down, and I went to my primary care manager after like 3 years, and I said, "Look, bitch, this is what's going on.
Pay attention, lady."
That was it. And I said, "We need to get me to a geneticist." And so a year later after that, they diagnosed me with a thing called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's a connective tissue disorder. And so,
say it slower one more time.
Oh, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Wow. It's a connective tissue disorder. So you lack the gene that creates mitochondria. So you have a mitochondria defect. So all of your genes that create collagen don't work. Mm-hmm. So you're born with collagen, but it can never reconstitute itself effectively. And so that means that all of your connective tissue, including your organs, your veins, your bones, everything is essentially like rubber, and it falls apart like very easily. And it's super, super tender. And so anyways, when I found that out, I had 26 surgeries to save my life.
Oh my goodness.
In like the next 5 years.
What kind of surgeries do they do?
Everything. So this segues in. So I had I ended up not being able to breathe very well, like a thing with like autonomic nervous system where I just couldn't catch my breath. I started getting really dizzy. I was having these insane headaches my entire life. I couldn't figure out why my eyes would bulge out of my head. It was terrible. And I was like, oh, it's just headaches. Well, I ended up finding out, because of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, I have a thing called Chiari malformation. So it's where your head squeezes your brain, and your brain essentially gets pooped down into your neck. And yikes. So it kills your brainstem, essentially. And so you lose the ability to walk, you lose the ability to breathe, and if they don't do surgery, then you essentially die. Like, that's it. And so I got to a point where I couldn't walk anymore, and I was in a wheelchair. So I was in a wheelchair for about 2.5 years because, and you have to cath. I got out of a speeding ticket that way. Oh. It was very, oh, we'll talk about that. But
shove a tube up my pussy hole.
So that's exactly what tickets, it was. Please. I was like, I got to pee. They're like, ma'am, you're going fast. I'm like, I know. And I showed him my calf. I was like, I can't go anywhere. Anyways, it was the whole thing. But yeah, I ended up going in, and it was my birthday gift to myself was brain surgery to have that fixed when I was 26. Wow. And so I went in 2 days after my birthday, hashtag Scorpios. And yeah, 2 days after my birthday, I had the surgery, and it went well. They essentially take like a golf ball size of your skull away, and they put a patch there, and they lift everything up, and they take out your first and second vertebrae. So if you notice that I'm like turning, that's why, because it's hard for me to turn my neck.
So do you have like a soft spot back
there? Oh yeah. Yeah. Wow. I'll show you the whole thing. Yeah. Oh, it's all, it's all open back here. And
I broke my C1 vertebrae. That's crazy that they just take those out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The first one. Yeah. And they fuse it.
That's a dangerous surgery.
Yeah,
it's like not one for the faint of heart. You could have never walked again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, or like been alive because of all the pressure. And so everything goes great. And because of my illness, what I have, my tissues don't heal properly. So they take like 2 or 3 times longer. So I told my neurosurgeon, I said, I mean, anytime you go in for a surgery, you have to say, look, guys, I have this. We got to take special precaution. And they go, okay, cool, right? This guy didn't. So a week later, he took out my stitches. And I went, I drove, this happened in Alabama, and my parents took me back to Houston so I could heal, because it's going to be like a 8-week healing thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm laying in bed, and I'm just getting sicker and sicker. Like, I can't see, and I've never had brain surgery before.
Yeah.
You don't know. You're like, okay, you're in pain. Maybe you have nausea, whatever. You don't know.
Like, your brain's adjusting.
Yeah, your brain's, and that's, we called them. They're like, oh, you're going to be okay. It's fine, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so 3 weeks later, my mom, it was during the holidays, and it was their first day back. My mom's a teacher, hashtag teachers. My mom went back to school, and I'm laying in our guest bedroom, and I'm asleep, and I wake up, and I remember like being very dazed. It almost felt like this, like you can't really see anything, you know? And I was like, oh, and I was like, wow, why am I wet? This doesn't make any sense. And so I get up and I look, and all of my pillow and all of my back and all of my shirt is wet, and my brain incision had opened up, and with every heartbeat I had CSF fluid. gushing out of my head. Oh my God. It was so terrifying. The first thing I did was call an ambulance, and they were like, we won't be able to get you to the hospital quick enough. Like, there was going to be 45 minutes. That's what they said. We'll be there in 45 minutes. You have to go down. Like, I called my doctor. They wanted me to go downtown Houston. We lived, like I said, in the east side of town. They said it was going to take too long. I called my mom. She rushed home. They wrapped me up in a robe. They throw me in the car, my poor 80-year-old father. And like, we're driving down there. And I just remember looking out the window, like with my face, like, okay, this is great. And like, everything's kind of like shutting down. And we get in there and they roll me in, and I remember just sitting there and I'm freezing. Why? Because I have this crazy infection. And I told the doctors, I was like, please don't send me home. And they bring me to the back, and everybody rushes in, and they couldn't give me any medicine because my blood pressure and everything was so low. And they go, okay, we're gonna have to turn you to the side and put this tube in your spine to get out this infection. You can't have any lidocaine or anything. And as they do that, the stress, I'm laying on my side, here's the like heartbeat monitor over here, right? I'm laying on my side, they do that, I can feel the pain, and everything shocks, and it starts going down, and it starts going down, and it starts going down, and I'm watching my heartbeat and my pulse go down from like 120 down to 40, down to 30. This is the weird thing. While I'm laying there watching this, I hear everybody screaming, coding, 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 and then all of a sudden my vision goes like this. It's not looking at that, it's looking down
above. I've heard that about from so many people.
And I didn't hear anything. It was quiet.
Was it peaceful?
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. This is so weird. I might cry with this one. It was so weird. You're looking down. You're seeing all this. You look at your body. And the only thing I could think of was, I hope my mom knows that I love her.
Aww.
That's it. And I remember going out and seeing what book she was reading. It was a Nicholas Sparks book, because they're not going to go out there and tell her, right, that her daughter's dying, right? And so I remember seeing the little swing set on the front of it. And I remember feeling just fucking bliss. It was so great. And then I wake up. Yeah. And I'd been in a coma for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And I woke up, and I have all this crap all over me. And they were like, oh my God, are you okay? And I'm just opening my eyes, you know, like completely plastered.
Oh.
And it was just, it was insane. And then after that, I was in there for another 2 months. And after that, I remember getting out of that hospital. It was very interesting, because my room that I was in for 2 months, there was a window, but there was a window that faced a brick wall. So you're in this room for 2 months. It's very interesting. We're here
triggering,
right now.
Right?
Yeah, it's very triggering. And I remember getting in the car and going on the way home. And I was sitting in the car. And I remember having so much compassion for everything. I was like, oh my God, Mr. Hobo, you are one. Like, the grass was like hyper green. Aww. The sky was high. Everything was just so intense and beautiful. And at that point, like, just shit started getting really weird after that. Like, yeah. I mean, all the other ones were just like nothing compared to this thing. And I read fucking everybody. I read everybody, and it just kept going, and it still hasn't stopped. So that
was.
Do
you think that he keeps saving you for a reason?
I mean, I'm here with you right now, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, sure. Exactly. Yeah, I think that they're.
Like, this is your journey. This is your mission.
Oh, yeah. This is my journey. This is my mission. So you asked me, you're like, oh, you went through cancer, you know, and you just kind of glaze over that. Well, because it's been much more crazy after that, right? Like, no, this was the big thing. And after that, I showed appreciation. I showed love. I mean, I see how everything comes in alignment. I see how anything that you want, including that thing sitting over there, came into my alignment. I mean, everything. I mean, you can have anything you want.
Absolutely.
If you just put your mind to it. You know,
that's so heavy. I can't believe you've been through all that, and you're still just so upbeat and positive. A lot of people would let that.
I know, life's too short to be shitty.
Derail them. Yeah, absolutely. It is. So you wake up out of this thing. You start reading for everybody. Do you stay in the marriage? Were you?
He was hanging out with the babysitter while I was having brain surgery. Let's just say that I ended up finding that out. Got home like 6 months later, and I looked at him. I was like, this isn't for us.
Yeah.
Like, nothing aligned. And so I left him with my son and a bag of clothes. I left our house, our two cars, everything. And I moved back to Houston, And I was still in a wheelchair, by the way, when I came back. Okay. Because I still had multiple surgeries to finish up with, like my abs ripping. I mean, you name it. Goodness. There's just a ton of stuff. But I left and I remember getting back home to Houston and I said, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to be something. Yeah. And that was, what, 6 years ago?
And you were ready. You were just like, this is it. I'm going to change the trajectory of my life and just use it for good, a higher purpose.
Absolutely.
I
and now we're here.
I know. Love that. So you get back, you're single.
Yeah.
On Tinder.
I wasn't on Tinder. I was at really nice steakhouse bars. Let's just say that.
What were you doing at the really nice? You were staking out the.
I was staking
the selection of meat.
Yes, exactly.
You were looking for that prime grade A cut.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. All the Sergios, all of them. Yeah. No, I got back and I decided I got a job as. I was doing my mediumship, but I got a job as the general manager for a really, really big day spa. Mm-hmm. And I met a lot of really cool women there that kind of like were having their own business. And we kind of all got together and just had a really good time.
And people underestimate having a big camaraderie of women.
Yeah.
When you have women that you guys can support each other, it's such a good feeling.
Well, yeah. Well,
you guys can talk shit together. You guys can build together. Like, yes. It's just like a family.
Well, it is. Well, and it's. When you, I guess you say it's hard for like people like you and me, right? Because you tend to be, I don't want to say this in a bad way, but you tend to be the alpha, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of in a way. And so it's hard to find women that are also in that.
Well, yeah.
And
so I'm surrounded by all alpha women.
I know. And so when you find them, you just click and you stay together. Yeah. So I got back, I was doing my mediumship. I was working there. It was wonderful. And then I started dating. And I dated like 26 people in 6 months. Oh, and it was great.
Speed dating.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have to know about each other. Right? It was the whole thing.
Like, it was all the same thing.
Yes. It was all
the
same thing.
Were you just like looking for love in all the wrong places? Or you were just like, you know what, dude? I just almost died. I just got out of a marriage. I am ready to just fucking... this new stitched up vagina fucking get to work.
That nobody knew I had a baby. Nobody knew. And also all
can we do they just stitch it all up?
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah. So what they do, it's called I believe it's called a celiocoloplexy. And so what they do is
she says these words so smart and like just like it's nothing.
I have to be very educated on these things, right? Otherwise I die. But I had a hysterectomy. A full hysterectomy, and then that actually had happened about 2 or 3 times, and then all of my abs, because of my connective tissue disorder, they ripped open, and so they had to do all mesh anyways, the whole thing. So I was looking good. I essentially had a tummy tuck myself with everything else. And I was going out and I was trying to find somebody that like I loved, and I was like I knew what love was for a parent child. I knew what love was for my kid. Mm-hmm. I knew what love was for a friend. But I didn't think that love for another human being, like a romantic relationship.
Healthy.
Healthy was really, truly out there. And so I guess I was on a quest to find that.
Which is crazy because your parents are still together, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, they were. He's dead now. But yeah, they were. Yeah. They were together for 40 years.
Wow.
For a very, very long time, which is really cool. But I mean, at the same time, they were also an old school relationship. Right. You know, they were 20 years apart. Mm-hmm. And if he said, Kathy, jump, she would say yes.
Right.
Right. It wasn't always reciprocated. That was that old 1935 like type of thing. So, but I wanted something like more. I wanted like a teammate. And so I started dating all these people. And I mean, everything from doctors, geneticists, to lawyers, to, you know, the person that was the bar person, right? Like all of these. And one day I just got tired of it. And I sat
doctors
down.
And lawyers are not easy to date.
No.
I've had them as clients, and the lawyers are the worst clients to ever have.
Yes, they are. Yeah, they are. They think way too much.
They want to argue about everything. Everything's a rebuttal.
Everything, all literally. The time. I know. Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you. And I remember sitting back in my apartment, and I was like, why am I doing this? I go, I need to sit here and just figure out, you know, what am I doing? And so I decided that I would just be me and my cat alone.
Crazy cat lady.
Yeah, and not just me and him for the rest of my life. Yep, exactly. Well, I mean, dogs are too much work, especially when you're working all the time, you know?
I love my chaw.
I know. Everybody loves him. And so I go through and I start writing down the names of each one of these people. And I started thinking, like, what did I like in them that I was trying to find within myself? And so I wrote down everything that I liked about each one that I couldn't find in myself. And then
your self-reflection is amazing.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hardcore. And so I thought, you know, the lawyer, what did I like? Well, I liked that he was smart, that he wrote books. I liked that he was fun. I liked that he didn't have to worry about money. I liked that he was confident, but yet he couldn't have a conversation. Right. And he was kind of boring and he was a little childish. Why did I like the bar guy? Well, I mean, he was great. He was fun. We would dance country music in the living room at 3 o'clock in the morning. So that was great. But he was also a chronic alcoholic and he had gotten like 70 WIs and he was going to jail all the time. Like, that's not, it's stupid. Yeah. So there's all these different things. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to do this for myself. And we'll see. So I decided to be a celibate lesbian with my cat for like the next 9 months, essentially. Yeah. So I did that.
You have a very extreme personality. It's like one or the other.
It is. It's one or the other. Yeah. Well, it's
very
it's,
Scorpio of you.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And so I decided to be a celibate lesbian. And that's when that thing showed up.
Well, hold on. Let's not brush over the lesbian part.
Oh, no, no. I've never done that. I had a lot of friends that were lesbians, but I've never been a lesbian. Ever.
Oh, what did you say? You decided to be a celibate what?
A celibate lesbian. That just means that I'm not going to date any men at all.
Oh, okay. I was like, we're not brushing over the lesbian part.
No. I never have. No, but I did tell him. I said, if it happens that him and I don't work out, I will be that. Just going
to
go
on with the team. I say that to everyone. Well, no, yeah. I don't. I could never be a lesbian. I love penetration too much. But I do say if Jay and I don't work out, I'm going to have like 26-year-old cabana boys.
Yeah. Yes, that's like, it. They're just
gonna
run around.
I don't want any emotional attachment. Don't care. Just come and bang me and leave.
That and leave. Exactly. Yeah, no, it's just going to be me and my dog.
So you decided to be a crazy cat lady lesbian.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And
just
what
by
happened?
Myself.
Just by yourself. And how'd that work out?
It worked out great. I didn't have any worries. I didn't have, you know, any problems, any issues, but it was boring.
Right.
And, you know, I was reading and I love that. And I had all these friends and I had all these clients and it was great, but it was boring. And I said, you know what? I really want a partner. And so it just happened to be that my best friend at the time, her name's Julia, she wanted to start dating again. And she says, Amy, you're really good with words. And I go, yeah. She goes, I need you to make a Tinder profile for me. And I go, okay. She goes, but the thing is, you have to make one for you too. And I go, honey, I don't need to make a Tinder profile. I can just go down the street. Like, I mean, go to and pick up somebody, right? It doesn't matter. And she said, no, Amy, do it. And so I made one for her, wrote out this big thing, all these pictures. And then on mine, I put one picture and I said, I like street tacos and champagne. That was it. And anyways, I ended up getting sick again like a month later. I never looked at it. I didn't want to have any. I got sick again. And I ended
got
up going,
sick again with.
So because of like the cooter falling out and the booty falling out and stuff like that, it left me with some things that like you get bladder infections very easily. And then because I only have one kidney and all that was falling out, you can't feel it. And so it leads to kidney infections.
Oh, no.
And so I didn't realize I'd had a kidney infection for about a month. And I went septic and they found me in the elevator at work and they took me to the hospital and I stayed there for a few weeks. I had come out of that and it was 2 days later. I picked up my phone. I'm laying in bed and there's all these messages in Tinder and all of them.
She's like, well, I lived again. Let's get on Tinder.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. No. Well, no. So I look because I was just curious because I told Julia that I just wanted to delete it. Like I'm not going to do it. It's just going to be it. And there was one guy with one picture and he said, hey, and he said, I like street tacos and long walks on the beach. And that was it. And so I messaged him and that's my husband.
Aww.
Yeah, and that's my husband.
What's hubby's name?
Yeah, oh, his name's Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Say hey.
Chris is here.
Yeah, and then
they're so cute. Let me tell you guys, whenever I came in, he's like reminding her to do things. Like, you guys are like your yin and yang for
each
other.
He's my little Taurus Aries.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm his little Scorpio Libra. And the other thing is that I would not have sex with him on the first date. Because I have a lot of Aries in me, and so I like to go in and like dominate and say haha and then like walk away, right? Essentially, like I did that, and I told him, I go, he comes up and he kissed me on my forehead, and he was like, "Do you want to come inside?" I'm like, "No, no, I can't." He goes, "Why not?" I said, "Because if I have sex with you, I'll never talk to you again." Aww. And so we did it. We didn't do it, but for 3 dates, we went on 3 dates, and then finally I banged him.
You put in the work.
Uh huh.
You had long game.
He did. I did have long game.
Condoms in my pocket.
But I wanted to see if he would hang out with me and do all my weird little things. And so we went out to dinner and then I took him bowling at like, I wanted to see if he'd go bowling with me. And then I took him downtown Houston. We had cheesecake at 2 o'clock in the morning. Aww. And then I took him home.
You were looking for the romance.
Yeah. I was in for the romance.
And you deserve that.
Yeah.
Because you had already gone through your hoe phase and stuff.
Oh my God.
Even though he showed up with condoms.
Absolutely.
He still was romancing.
I was on Tinder for different reasons.
Bunny, can I?
I mean, usually men are on Tinder. We know why men are on Tinder. It's not because you guys are looking for love.
I know. No. All. Can I tell you one of my most terrible things?
Yes, please.
So it was, and I don't care. I like. I like to be very raw. I tell everybody this on live anyways. It doesn't matter. So there was this one time when was it? Oh, yeah. I was going in and I was having this major surgery to put back my stomach together. Right. And they were essentially what they were going to do is they said that they would have to take out my abs. And because of all the stuff, they'd have to take out my intestines. Like they talked about how they would do it. Right. The whole thing. And I'm sitting there like. Right.
Just rearranging your body.
Oh, the whole thing. And so I lived before every surgery. I essentially went YOLO. Okay. You only live once because right. you didn't know if it was going to come back. Like right. bad shit would happen. And so there's this one time before what I think was one of my last surgeries that all of my old high school friends, we all met up. We all went to a country bar and I did cocaine and rode a bull.
Nice.
It was just I would sorry and it was
just like I'm going out with a bang.
Yeah,
baby.
that was it and I was like, oh my god, what are you doing? What
I've
are you
snorted
doing?
Eight balls to the face many
see,
a times
see? Yes. And so they were like, Amy, I'm like, oh my god, we gotta do it, like you're only gonna live once. And then that was it.
I can't with somebody who has had brain surgery, like here yeah. here's a line. I yes. could never do that to
yes
you.
No, I know but that was a choice. That
it.
Was a choice. It
I
wasn't
it.
A whole line. It was just it was a little bit like in the bathroom on yeah. a credit card.
Yeah. I love it.
I know
at least you didn't do the pinky nail. I used to just always no. do the pinky nail.
Oh, see, because yeah, I get it but yeah, and then that's how I started talking to dead people.
So you're married now.
Yeah.
And
3 years.
Yeah. Let's talk about when you first got on TikTok, because as TikTok kind of changed your whole like situation.
My whole
right?
life. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to say life because yeah. I mean, you've lived a full fucking life.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff.
You've been through
in
a
there.
Lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
When you first got on TikTok, you were doing cooking videos.
Yeah. So
because
yeah.
I've known of you for a while.
Yeah. So yeah. I first I love to cook. Mm-hmm. I'm a musician. I love playing. I love creating anything yeah. creative. Right. Mm-hmm. Because it's all from the soul. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I was on there and I didn't see anybody doing cooking videos at that point. So I said, you know what? I'm going to cook my interesting recipes that I do, because mm-hmm. technically I'm like half Mexican. Right. Because I grew up in Pasadena. All of my boyfriends were from Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I only ate Mexican food. Like, yeah. Or, and I sang and played in a praise and worship team. That
all my nieces
only
and nephews
Spanish.
Are Mexican because my sister lives
See?
In Pasadena.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly. So Tango La Camisa Negra was like my, you know, main theme song. But but I didn't see anybody making it.
Right.
And so I started making food and I started getting a following while I'm still doing my mediumship. And it was probably like a year into it. And I had this essentially like a knowing, and it said, you need to go and talk to people about this. And I was like,
right now?
Yeah. I mean, that's essentially what it yeah. was. I was like, why? Yeah. You know, there's this thing of like, you need to go talk to people. I was mm-hmm. like, no, because what do? You come out, you say, hey, I'm going to talk. I talk to dead people. How do you think people react? They either call you stupid. They tell you you're idiotic. They tell you it's wrong. They tell
or
you you're going to go to hell.
Something from you.
Yes. Or they want something from you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One or the other. And so it was more like, you know, signing something away, saying, okay, accept all these, right? Mm-hmm. And so I made a video in October of 2019, and I said, hey, I also do this, and I will share with you everything that I've learned, and boom. And then from that point, I was just cooking medium. Yeah. And then 2 years ago, it got to a point where I was doing brand deals. I was doing all of my sessions. I was doing all my meditations. I mean, you name it. I was cooking. I was winning cooking competitions. Mm-hmm. And with my chronic illness, I was dying, mm-hmm. like dying, because I'm working 7 days a week, you know, 20-hour days, getting 4 hours of sleep. And I looked at my husband and I thought, I was going to say prayed long and hard. And I said, what should I do? Should I stay with this or should I do with this? And everything just said, go with the mediumship.
Yeah.
Just drop cooking. And I did. And I read The Spirit of Aaron Carter in January.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm hanging out with NSYNC now. I
so
weird.
Crazy.
Yeah. So apparently I made the right choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Absolutely.
No, you're like always booked out.
Yeah.
Like people, I've watched you explode,
mm-hmm.
you
yeah.
know, over the past like year and a half
mm-hmm.
almost. Yeah.
It's gotten crazy. And I think it's because it's raw. Right.
Yeah, and it's real. And you're honest yeah. with people.
Yeah.
You know, and I think teaching them too is another way of them, like, because a lot of people don't want to give away their secrets.
No.
So for you to like want to teach people too, I think that intrigues people, because what? Everybody wants to,
yeah,
you know how to see spirits.
I know. Well, I mean,
don't, because I see them all the time.
I know.
So I don't even want to deal with it. I'm like one of those people who pushes it away.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to deal with it.
Well, I mean, but this is the whole thing too. If you're pushing it away, it's going to try to hit you harder.
So when I went through a really tough time, probably I'd say like last year, maybe a year before that, I was seeing, like, I've always seen ghosts and shit mm-hmm. since I was little.
Yeah.
Spirits, black energy, a lot of black energy is always around me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And finally last year, I just got to the point where I was so tired of just being scared of it. But I was good. Like, come on. Like, I don't good. Care. I was just like, just, you're welcome here anytime. Just leave me alone.
Good.
You know, and I don't see him anymore.
Good.
Ever since I just gave into that and was uh-huh. just like, I don't care anymore. I don't care that you're fucking floating over here. I don't mm-hmm. care that you're over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know why? Because mm-hmm. you don't have fear.
Yeah.
Fear is the lowest vibration. They do. The lower mm-hmm. vibration feeds off of fear. Why do you think people keep pushing fear in the media? Fear mm-hmm. and everything. Because if they keep you low, you know, you never truly know what you are, right? Yeah. You're never really living the light.
So if somebody were to do a class with you, like mm-hmm. what is like essentially an overview of a session with you to learn how to start reading stuff like
okay,
that?
Okay, so I do my classes, right? So I have my thing right now. It's called Introduction to Channeling course. Mm-hmm. And then I have my advanced course. You have to take the introduction one.
Right.
And essentially I have these people that are coming in and, you know, they have been experiencing things. They're seeing the synchronicities. They are understanding that there's more to this, right? They see how it all kind of like goes together collectively. Mm-hmm. And so you're coming in and you're trying to teach them how to open up their senses, because that's number one what you have to do. So like one of the things that I would do first off, as I don't have my syllabus in front of me right now, is I would say, okay, I want you to go and, you know, sit in your bedroom quietly and just feel what it feels like. What do I mean by feel? Like if we sit here quietly, this room has a certain feel about it. Okay. And I want you to compare it to, how does the room at your house feel? Like mm-hmm. you can put your mind there. How does it feel? Well, this room feels different than that room, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what is that? That's spirit. That's mm-hmm. that's you feeling the energy around it. Okay. So you do that. Then I want you to go to a busy grocery store. What does that feel like? I want you to go to a cemetery. What does that feel like? I want you to feel the differences, okay? I want you to go back to your bedroom. I want you to start thinking of your dead grandmother. I want you to call her in, and then I want you to feel your room, right? Well, you will feel that it's different, okay, because she's there. It'll almost be like there's not an emptiness anymore.
Okay? Do spirits always come if you call them?
Yes, absolutely.
Every
Why?
Time?
Yes, because
and it's always them, or is yes. it, could it be another
no,
person?
No, I mean, there's spirits around you all the time, but remember mm-hmm. your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, even your words are all energy, and we're connected. See, the words that I'm using right now, it's the best way I can describe something that's non-physical. So please just go with it. So we're all connected by what I can understand so far is like a web. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you get into connection with somebody, like when I get in connection with him or with you, whatever it may be, their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions, or their wants, you can kind of like feel them, mm-hmm. right? So maybe he's in another room and he has this big want of like wanting a Dr. Pepper. And then all of a sudden I think, oh my God, I should go get Dr. Peppers for us, right? Mm-hmm. So I bring it back and he goes, oh, I had no idea. Yeah, that. I was mm-hmm. just thinking about that. That's the web, because mm-hmm. you're connected. Just like the other day, right? I sent you that, you know, you and I had that phone conversation. And then all of a sudden I get in my car, I'm going to the mall, and there's a car in front of me with a license plate, Bunny.
Yeah.
How weird, right? That's yeah. not weird. That's because it was brought into that. So anyway, so spirits use that line to connect, because whether you have a physical body or not, that is still there. That right. connection is love. And so when you think about them, that essentially like tings that vibration, like hitting a guitar string, and they show up, mm-hmm. right? And remember, I want you to think about how the spirit world is. So it's you here, okay? The spirit world is all around. Okay. So then they can just interject. And so that's how they work.
Yeah.
That's how they work.
When you read Aaron Carter, for those of you guys who don't follow Amy on TikTok, which you should.
Yeah.
When you connected with him, can we talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's
of course.
Talk about that
yeah.
reading. How did that go?
Mm. So, of course, I don't like to know anything about anybody.
Right.
Right. Like, and the whole thing is, when you go into a session, obviously I knew who I was going to channel.
Right.
Right. And so I get in
there.
His
family authorized it, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. I was reading his sister.
Yeah.
His sister and Nick. Mm-hmm. And so, or sister at first. And so I go in there and I start calling him forward. What do? I just sit there quietly. I get in the moment. And I start saying, Aaron, come here. And you can feel that there's a difference in the room. Now, on that feeling, how they feel, that depends on where they're at in the spirit world. Okay. And what do I mean by that? The spirit world is, from the best way I can explain a non-physical place to a physical reality, is it's almost like a really tall apartment building. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody's in the apartment building, but not everybody's on the same floor. Okay. Right. But everybody knows that everybody lives in this apartment building, but not everybody's talking to everybody.
It's like that one American Horror Story hotel.
Yes, yes, yes. Over there in LA. Absolutely. Yes. And so when you call in, you know, each floor feels different. There's high vibration. Let's talk about Jesus, God, Mary, all that stuff. And then there's very, very low, which is essentially like where Hitler would go, something
what
like that.
What people consider hell.
Yes, hell. Exactly. So
is there a purgatory?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. So I go through and I feel him. And the first thing that I feel is somebody, I get visions in my head, and it's like somebody walking around, smoking a cigarette, anxiety. Where would they be?
Lower.
Yeah, yeah. Why? Why? So for me, I have found a pattern that when spirits are in the middle vibration, it's because they've either they're waiting because they got murdered, like something happened, and they're trying to like help the family, because the middle vibration is where we're at too. Mm. We are in the middle vibration. Okay. Mm. Why is that? Well, because we have the choice to do good, or we have the choice to do bad. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're here in the middle. And so that's also why most of these, we're gonna go back to Aaron too, but that's why most of these things, when you talk about ghosts, or I felt really sad, or I think my boyfriend that unalived himself is around me, it's because, yes, he is, because he's in this vibration with you. Mm-hmm. That purgatory area, that middle vibration, from when I get visions of it, it's like here, but everything's gray. Mm-hmm. Like there's no color. Right. That's the best way I can describe it. And there's anxiety. A lot of people are smoking. They walk around with bottles of booze. It's a whole thing. It's a very middle thing. And so he shows up and he's there. And I look at Angel and I was like, I said, I think he's in the middle vibration. She goes, well, we don't really know how he died yet. You know, obviously they knew the bathtub, right? But I keep going and I keep channeling him. And he talks about drowning. He talks about drowning and he keeps saying, it's my fault. It's my fault. And he shows me drugs. And I said, do we know if he passed of, you know, this or this? She goes, well, we're not sure yet, right? Because the whole autopsy hadn't come out right yet. And so I go, it's weird. I said, I think there's something involved with drowning. It's almost like he takes something, he has like the seizure or something, and then he drowns. And she goes, oh, okay. And he's talking to her, he's trying to connect with her. She's in a state of grief because it's only 1 month after her poor brother died. Yeah. He's trying to come through and help, because that's what they do in order to move up to a higher vibration. They help you, they become your guide. That's what they do. Okay. Anyways, we'll get into that in a second.
Yeah.
And so flash forward, it was an amazing session. We had a lot of closure. We had a lot of clarity. And flash month, three months later, she sends me the autopsy report. He drowned. Mm. And it was from huffing this and taking too much Xanax. And he essentially had this seizure.
Wow.
And
I didn't know that was his cause of death. I did know he drowned, but I didn't know that it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That he had a seizure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it goes into, because of how when you do this, it when you huff the stuff, it causes that reaction in your brain, right?
Yeah, with everything else. It was Xanax. Oof,
yeah. So it adds that brutal. And so poor Bunny, and he felt so bad. He felt so bad for what he did, but he was in a good space. He was okay.
And he was a very tormented soul.
He was. He was a very tormented soul, but he was so sweet. And he shows up in my life a lot.
Yeah.
And I'll show you that actually while we're here. So just so you can see. Mm-hmm. So there are times where Aaron Carter will show up with me in my bathroom. And I will, this is
a real
thing.
You would think he would stay away from bathtubs.
That may be a reason why he does, but no, he shows up with me in my bathroom. And when I message his sister, she is actively doing something for him.
Aww.
When that happens, every single time he shows up, he plays the I Want Candy song in my head.
Aww.
And I text her. I'll like get out of the shower and I'll text her. I'll say, you know, what is up with this? So here, I have all these different things. Hang on, let me show you real
quick.
Does
this ever trip you out when shit like this happens, or are you used to it now? Yeah. Yeah. He's like, we're used to it now.
So this was back on July 17th. I sent her, I was learning about AIDS and the AIDS epidemic, and turns out I ended up channeling two people that day with AIDS. Anyways, very interesting. Everything happens for a reason. I said, I'm learning about the new things with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and AIDS. I looked up what popped up on YouTube. It was a video of Aaron Carter. Mm-hmm. And I said, watch what they say about Leslie, her sister. And they were talking about that. I said, that means something is going on today with you. And she says, Amy, I'm digging up old photos of my family. They specifically requested some of Leslie for an interview that I'm doing. She's sitting at the table.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Okay. That's part of that web that you're talking
about.
That's
the web. Mm-hmm. That's the web. And I said, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. She goes, I'm doing a big interview for People Magazine. Okay. And then we talk about nervousness of it. Then right after that, I get on my Discord. I have a big family of Discord people that follow me on there. We have almost 2,000 people on there. And the first thing I open it up and the first thing that says is, Amy Bolesky, has Aaron reached out to you recently?
Aww. Yeah.
It was at that exact same time.
He's talking to you.
Yeah, it happens at least once a month, and I have it all documented. It's crazy. All documented.
He just feels safe with you, probably.
He does. Well, mm-hmm. And it's interesting. So their birthday is December 7th. My ex-husband is December 7th. Like, so this, like, December 7th vibe, like, yeah. comes into play somehow, too. Mine's yeah. November 7th. But that's the web I'm talking about, mm-hmm. okay? And that's how spirits come through.
So real quick question. When people pass and they are, because let's go into that a little bit. When people pass and they're in the lower vibration, mm-hmm. they can work their way up.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not. So many people go, oh my God, are they stuck? Are they stuck? No.
Right.
Nobody's stuck. Nobody's ever stuck. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of times when I see people that are in this middle vibration, whether they, can we say suicide or we're going to do unalive?
No, you can.
I can't. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whether they passed up suicide or a drug overdose or got murdered. And we can talk about all the different types and then how they feel, because there's probably going to be a lot of people that want watching this that, I mean, especially with the fentanyl stuff going on around right now.
It's crazy.
Oh, it's insane. That's a whole nother thing. But when they cross over, they can move up. And a lot of times if it's like the drug overdose, like fentanyl, and it was the first time, they weren't a drug addict or anything like that, they just go up to the light. Like, that's it. They go up to a higher vibration. But if they have been doing it and, like, they took away from their family or themselves, they weren't being the light, they weren't being in the best version of themselves, and they kept doing it, and then they passed away, right? They let themselves become that lower emotional state, then that's where they go. Right. And so when they get over there, what they have to do is they have to help the people that they hurt the most. Mm-hmm. So they help their kid. They help their mom.
So karma, it's like reaping
karma. It is karma. And they hang around with people, and they'll show them all the signs. I mean, everything, anything that you want. All you have to do is ask them for help. Mm-hmm. That's all you have to do. You have to allow them into your space, and you have to ask them.
Wow.
For it.
That's crazy. But I think that's comforting for some people to know that as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then with people that... do you want to get creepy?
Yes.
Can I tell you a couple creepy stories?
Please.
And I'll tell, people really like me when I talk about hell too, for some reason. Like, that's, and I don't know why.
I think it's because everybody's fucking scared of it.
Yeah. It's scary.
So it's like a morbid curiosity.
It is scary. I don't know. Today I was getting ready and I was like, oh, I should talk to the story or tell Bunny about the story. So let me tell you about one of them. So, this is about the middle vibration. So there was this one time that I was reading this girl, this woman, and she was sitting down. Remember, all of my things are online. So all of my sessions are online. And so she's sitting down, she has her phone right here, and all I can see is that she has tile behind her. That's it. And she's wanting to channel this woman named Jenna. And I begin bringing her forward. I'm channeling Jenna. And it's weird because I begin to feel the coldness of the tile on my back. Mm. And I was like, odd. I said, I think she's in this room with you. And she goes, laughs about it a second. And so I keep calling her. I was like, Jenna, what's up? What's up? What's up? And then she shows me this flash of essentially blood everywhere coming from certain locations, like wrists and stuff like that. And then she shows me the same color tile where she's at. And I go, did she pass in this bathroom? And she was like, yeah. I said, did she, commit suicide? And she goes, yeah, she did. She goes, I'm sitting in the spot where I found her.
Wow.
And I go, oh, okay. Oh. And so her spirit is still in that area. And so she's trying to, like, come up to her wife and tell her how much she loves her and tell her how much she misses her. And she's trying to have this connection. And she's going through and she's talking about their Basset Hound dog. Like, she's in that house with them. And I tell her all these things. And she's like, I see her all the time in here. I see her all the time. I'm like, because they're there. They're helping you until they move up. And so, yeah, that was very, very interesting.
How long does it take for somebody to be able to move up?
Okay, so time doesn't exist in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm. So it's just whenever.
Yeah. So
who decides that they could move up?
Yourself.
Wow.
yourself.
So it's like she has to let go.
She has to let go.
She's done.
Yeah, you have to find your light. You
have to. Good God, we got to work through trauma in this life and in the next life.
Well, yeah, I mean, but if you
what kind of shit is that?
Yeah, I know, but it's like if you don't, that's the whole thing. We're here. We're learning. We're understanding. You know what is love? You know, and all that stuff. And so if you kind of like flake out on it, you know, you're still gonna have to go learn.
Got a second chance. Yeah. So start doing the fucking work now. Shadow work now, bitches. Okay?
Yes. Absolutely. All the shadow work. Now, the whole thing, though, this is going to get a little creepy. Okay, so I'm sorry. And for people that have had this happen to them, I have been a person that has been sexually assaulted, so I understand this. And so this is all about sexual assault. So trigger warning. Okay. So I will forever remember this. It was November 7th. It was my birthday 2 years ago. Me and my husband traveled over to Natchez, Mississippi, and I had to have sessions that day. Okay. And so I'm in this old, I love old creepy homes. Yeah. And so I go and I rented an old creepy home. And I'm in there and I'm having sessions with this one woman, and she wanted to channel two people. And I think the gentleman's name was like Geraldo or something like that. It was a G name. I can't remember. It was something Italian. Yeah. And so I go through and I begin channeling him. And whenever I start channeling, I always feel around in the area that we're at right now. And then I go up. I couldn't feel anything. I didn't feel him. And I was like, weird. And then all of a sudden I smelled booze. Mm. And I was like, okay, that's a little bit lower. And then I start hearing, like, that's what it sounds like in my head. And I'm like, there's a guy here. He's kind of like laughing. I said, he may be an alcoholic. She goes, he was. And then all I hear is heavy, like, if somebody has black dress shoes on with really heavy heels, men dress shoes, like walking on a wood floor, click, click, click. And I get a vision of this guy, and he has this black slick back hair, and he has this white button-up shirt that he has like undone. You can see the sweat on him, and he has these black long trousers, but he makes my vision go to like his crotch area. Ew. And so he's walking around, I mean, so get this, but everything is like black around him, so it's like if there'd be a spotlight on him. And then he shows me this image of him really quickly putting his hand like over a little girl with her about right here, and he was like, and the bitch liked it. Aww. And she still does.
Oh my God.
And I look, and you could feel that this little girl was my client.
Oh my God.
How do you say that? So I looked at her, I go, I think your dad is in, I said, this is your dad, right? She goes, yeah. I said, I think your dad is in a really bad spot. She goes, he should be. I said, I have a question for you. I said, did he like sexually assault you? She goes, yeah, until I was 18.
Oh my God.
Every day, me and my sister until I was 18. And I said, and he smoked cigarettes? She goes, yeah, he smoked and drank all the time. And he goes, yeah, and I never got caught for it. And he starts laughing like, ha, 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 right? And so I asked her, I said, why does he keep laughing about not getting caught for it? She goes, me and my sister about 10 years ago, we got together, we got enough proof. We were, I think they were like 22 or 23, and we got him in jail. And she goes, the day before he was sentenced, he hung himself.
Oh my gosh.
He never got caught.
Ugh, and he's just still choosing
and
to
he's
be a
in there.
Bag.
So he's this narcissistic asshat that he didn't want anything to do with me at all, but he's in that lower state.
And so spirits can choose to just be in hell if they want to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, because he likes that. He likes the drinking. He likes the smoking. He likes the dominance. He likes that, you know, sexual.
But you would think that he would pay for
type
that
of
in
thing.
Afterlife.
Well, he is paying for it when he's going to pay for it for forever there.
Yeah.
Right. And then at some point he will choose to move up.
I feel like people like that shouldn't get a chance to choose to move up.
I agree with you on that, but that's that also where heavy, we have to forgive, right? At the same time, I know that's where we have to forgive, but it's an interesting journey, and heaven is very light. We know about that with Nan.
Yeah.
Heaven is very light.
Nan.
Yeah. Yes.
She loves Jay.
Yes. Light and airy and fun. Yeah. And so many people go, oh, my loved one is in heaven, or they, you know, they passed of cancer, or they had a really good life and they died. Why can't I feel them? Well, because we're here in this middle area. Right. And we're not usually making our way up to here to heaven, right? That's why we only get little glimpses of them every so often, or like something nice, like a butterfly, or like a really good song, because that's heavenly.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're down here doing our work right now.
So before we go, I wanted to ask you if, you know, I'm going through this situation with my dad.
Yeah.
Is there any way we can tap into that and kind of just read his energy right now or anything like that?
I've done that a couple of times.
Can you do that with the living too?
Like, yeah, you can feel. What do you want to know?
Yeah. I just want to know, like, what do we think is, you know, I don't want to say end result, but, you know, he seems to think he can fight this, and when I first saw him, I gave him a couple of weeks when I saw him. But since my dad has seen me,
when is he going on dialysis?
He has cancer.
Yeah.
So he's refusing to do chemo. So he wants to do all natural. So he wants to do like immunotherapy and stuff like that, which I'm flying him to Nashville to start doing all of those alternative treatments.
Good.
He just went into the hospital last night with a blood clot and pneumonia.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that works out, but you know, I touched my dad last night, and I told them this earlier, that I felt his skin. And like, have you ever felt a dead person's skin?
I felt my dad's.
Yeah. And that's exactly how it feels. And I touched his legs, and he's so tiny. And
I know.
Like, he used to be just this big,
I know,
strong man.
I know how you feel.
Yeah.
So I know.
I just kind of want to tap into it and just see if, like, I don't know what I'm looking for. Maybe.
Let me tell you, I have sat around actually last night and this morning, and I've thought and I felt, and all they showed me for a little bit was weird. It was like real, but see, he's not retaining fluid in his legs though right now, right?
That's amazing that you said that.
Is that a thing?
He was his ankles were so swollen. Really? I actually have a picture of his ankles in my phone. They were so swollen, and they took him off this medicine, and the swelling's going down.
Good. Yeah, they were showing, like, this morning and last night I was sitting there. It was like if you had, like, a almost like a club foot type of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked
like. With that. And that's why I was like, when is he going on dialysis? Because I know that goes along with kidneys and stuff like that. It doesn't feel like a positive thing.
Right.
Let's just say that. And you know, because you're connected to your dad. But I also, there's sometimes when spirits, they don't want to say 3 weeks.
Right.
They don't want to say 4 weeks, because that means we'll lose hope and we'll start living in the negative. Mm. But for me, as I'm going into this, I mean, there's an ending coming up pretty quick. And when I mean quick, I mean, it's like, I would even say 9 months, but we'll see. You know, we'll see. Or it's going to be just this really big battle, because it feels like this lull.
Yeah,
right, like that.
Yeah, he's like decided that he wants to fight now. I'm like, you could have told me this a year ago.
I know. And I want him to fight. And when he does, now remember too, everything can be different. It can change. It depends on what path we want, right? And then we can kind of like bring stuff into alignment.
That's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, you know what? I'll be sad about it whenever it happens.
Yeah.
But right now, even if it's to the point of delusion, I'm just going to let him do whatever he needs to do and what I can do to just try to make him better.
Well, and that's what you do. And there also needs to be a point where you need to really think about like the comfort of also end of life care, right? Like getting into that. Because I also find so many people, including my dad, that even when, like, there was not a chance in hell, right? He still wanted to fight. And yes, that's good. But there was no comfort in it. There was no, it was always still, it was always still on this fear base, you know, of I want to live. And so essentially he ended up going out with that I want to live. And I don't know, the more I see it and I look at it and I experience it with spirits in my own family, I don't know, there's at some point where I would just say, you know, I just want to lay down and watch TV for, you know, like 2 weeks and not really give a shit at the same time. But it just doesn't, hold on, I'm feeling go spend Christmas with him.
He's gonna be with me in Nashville.
Good.
So sure.
Spend Christmas with him.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, at least we'll make it to Christmas.
Yeah. It doesn't. They just showed me a stocking. So that's why I'm thinking Christmas will be. Yeah.
I literally lost my mom last year. Yeah. And so I'm like, can we just get past my mom's death date?
I know.
So when you say in Christmas, I'm like, okay, cool. I can do that.
Because I know.
It's like, I keep having this fear that he's going to die in November too. And I'm going to lose both my parents in fucking November.
Yeah.
For some reason. And it's so crazy because I told my husband all year, last year and today, or this year, I was like, I'm going to lose my dad.
My dad, she knew.
Yeah, I was like, something's going to happen to my dad. Like, I feel like this is, he's going to die next year. And then this year, I mean, I have text messages where I'm like, I'm worried because I just feel like my dad's going to die.
Do you know why you're doing that? Because you're mourning that person who you will become when you lose your father. All of these things, everything is happening now. We're just pulling that frame into focus. Yeah. And so you know that that frame is going to happen and you're feeling it because you're more sensitive to it. Mm. And so you're mourning getting to that frame.
Yeah.
That's it.
And we had a rocky relationship, but he's still my pops, you know?
Yeah, so but who cares? Yeah. Let it go. It's not back then.
I have. Enjoy. As soon as I found out he was sick, I flew right to him.
Yeah, you know? And that's what you need to do. And so many people don't get that chance. So many people don't do it. Or they go, oh my God, I'm just so pissed at him. I hope he comes back and tells me he's sorry before he's dead. Shut up. I didn't
care about that, yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah, go and see your parents, dude. Yeah. Especially if it's at end of life.
Yes, exactly.
Amy, so. I'm so happy you came on the podcast. I love you.
I'm happy. Me too. Thank you for having me.
Dude, I want you to come back more and more.
Maybe I know. Like I'll next
time
you
come back,
we can channel.
Like, yeah, we'll channel. We'll do reading, stuff like that. I really just wanted people to get to know your story.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. It's crazy. There's so much more. Like there's so, that's why I'm writing a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. And like talk about spirits, talk about spookies, talk about, I mean, dog spirits. I mean, you name it, channel, feel.
I love it.
And then I could teach you how to meditate and zone out. How do you want to feel your aura?
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay, real quick. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Okay, everybody can probably do this if you want to.
All right, let's all do it. Everybody do it. Right. Mimi, you're doing it too.
All right, here we go. Come on. All right, so this is what I want you to do. So I want you to get your hands, and I want you to kind of just like put them in front of you. Mm. All right, and I want you to put them about a half an inch apart. Okay.
I'm not good with inches unless it's a penis in front of me.
Well, then that's about 6.5, you know. So put them about a half an inch apart from one another.
Okay.
And then what I want y'all to do is I want you to focus. What do I mean? Put your attention and focus it in between those fingers. Okay. So focus your attention in between your hands and your fingers. And then move your eyes from the fingertips down to the base of your palm slowly. And focus it all there. Just keep doing it back and forth. Bring all of your attention there. This is where being in the present, right in that moment, is key. All right, now what I want you to do is after we're doing that, there's a lot of stuff going on in the background, but what I want you to do
3-6 Mafia right now.
Yeah, this is it, right? Yeah, it's usually better when I'm used to working in silence.
Right.
But what I want you to do is I want you to take your hands and I want you to slowly push them forward, like in on one another without touching them. Okay. Get as close as you can and then pull it back.
Oh, you can kind of see colors.
Yeah, you can kind of see colors. You can see that. Also, I want you to kind of bring it in and out, almost like bounce it a little bit.
Okay.
And you can feel
the warmth.
The warmth and almost something like a magnet, like the, you know, like when you're putting two magnets that don't like each other.
Yep.
So, and you can make that if you focus on it, it almost feels like a moist sponge. Ooh, I hate that word.
We love moist.
Right? Moist. And so that is your energetic field.
I love it. It's pretty strong.
Yeah, that's your aura. And you can get it to about 2.5-3 inches. You know, it's not that big. But that is all around you. And so when you go up and you give somebody a hug and you say, oh my God, I can feel your energy. You can.
Remember? So I hate hugging people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Oh, and then the
literally.
I know. And truly the last
thing. I mean, people I like, you know, people
just
I don't
everybody.
Know. Right. Like I love to hug people I am expecting.
Are you being, I know. Are you being Howie Mandel?
Literally.
Okay, it's
I'm on
okay.
my way.
I mean, I love Howie Mandel.
I'm like, on my way.
Okay, it's
I would
okay.
glove the fuck up all the time if I could. Literally. I talk about my OCD online
I know,
all the time.
I know. Yeah. I've heard it before. I like it. No, this is the other thing. I want you to think of this real quick, okay? So remember, everything is energy, right? Everything is frequency. I want you to think about everything in this space, including your body, right? So what is your body? It is, you take it down to a cellular level, and all it is protons, neutrons, electrons, and quibs. Right, which is light, which is energy, which is bouncing around. And then when you get into this space, you have all these other radio waves, mm-hmm. right? You are a wave. Mm-hmm. Everything
yeah. is energy. No, that's why I always go to my bus, because this yeah. is so much energy all oh, the time. Is. So I always have to go there and kind of like decompress and mm-hmm. shake it off a little mm-hmm. bit.
That's exactly what it is. Yay. So there you go. Yeah.
Well, Amy, tell everybody where they can find you. Tell, you can find shout me. Out all your socials. Your
oh my gosh.
OnlyFans if
so,
you got one.
I wanted to. You know, they tried to get me on OnlyFans a lot. And my husband would not let me be on OnlyFans.
Listen, you guys needed to get on there and I know. Slap some skins.
Exactly. Spirits and sexies. But no, no OnlyFans yet. But no, it is, it's TikTok and it's Thebaleski, T-H-E-B-A-L-E-S-K-Y.
It's not Bailey Sky. No, Bailey Sky. For the longest time, I thought it was Bailey Sky.
Oh, you're okay. No, nobody thinks it's a Russian Jew name. And so Thebaleski, oh, I'll tell you why it's that. And then on everything else, it's Thebaleski. You can even Google me. I am the only Baleski in the United States.
B-A-L-E-S-K-Y.
Yes. And then my website is the Baleski Experience, and you can watch a lot of my sessions. I am now the most reviewed and highest rated medium in the United States.
Let's go, baby.
Which is kind of cool.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Fucking just took fucking your life and just yeah. did the damn thing.
Absolutely. Oh, and the last thing. So why is my name the Baleski? Mm-hmm. So my dad had 7 daughters. Mm-hmm. I was the youngest one, and he never had a boy. And so the Baleski name died whenever, obviously, he died, right? And they came over from Russia. They were slaughtered during World War II because they were Jewish, you know, and stuff like that. And they fought, and they built up their life here. They became fur traders. They became very, you know, very wealthy after doing that. And then Dad was in the Air Force. And so whenever he passed away, I said, you know what? I want to make the name live on. Aww. And so I trademarked it with the United States. And
I
so
love that. So it does live on.
It does live
He's
on.
He's proud of you.
He is.
Does your dad visit you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. More than often. He visits him.
Really?
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Are you
thing.
In tune?
So tell him, tell her. Are you in what? Tune?
Oh, come on. I
want to know. Oh, come on. Come
he's
on.
Like,
come
he's
on.
Like, this is your thing, honey.
So, see, I don't go and fling it out there. I'm just there's enough going on in our house with just her.
Yeah, you know, I could imagine.
We all need to be reaching out.
Yeah, no, he feels.
He's like, give me a fucking break.
Uh huh. Whoever is present in my life and who's in the room and with her and the stories that she brings into it.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't reach out looking for any extra because I got enough going on.
Yeah, he essentially great. Is my person. I know. Thank you. He's essentially the person that makes me not feel crazy because good. I'll go up to him and I'll get these things and I go, babe, watch what happens. This just happened today. Watch. I'm going to have this later on. Right. Yeah. And he goes, okay. And then it does. And yeah. so I can go back and he can go, oh my God, you did say that. Right. Like wow. he's that person for me.
I love that. You yeah. guys are cute too.
Thank you. I like him.
We need more content with him in it too.
Won't. I know. I want to, he won't come in.
Do it. You're fucking hilarious.
He is. I know. He shows up ever so often.
Like he shows up when it counts.
Uh-huh, exactly.
I love yeah. it. Yay. Yeah. Well, that's bunny, what thank we're talking
you.
About.
I love you.
Thank you so much. I love
you're
you.
Welcome.
And you got to promise me to come back next year.
I will.
Wow.
Yeah,
we'll just make you our resident.
Yeah,
you
we'll know. Do it. We'll do it. We'll feel around. We'll do spiritual it for everybody. Advisor. Who do yeah. you have anybody like that lost? Okay. Only reason I'm saying this, like Greg.
Greg, like around me?
Greg. No, just somebody. I don't know. It was weird.
Is there a Greg in the room? No.
Okay. The only reason I said that is because there was a name of Greg that popped up on my spirit box. And then over here, I drove by a building that said Greg on it. And then I saw a street that said Greg.
Yeah.
And there's another thing. So there's something to do with Greg.
Greg? That's my uncle that died. I got fucking goosebumps.
I'm on the bus talking about when we were getting ready right now.
Greg. Hello, Greg.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Hello, Greg. Dude, I got goosebumps. Oh,
that's why I was feeling Greg is that
the
for one you. That,
the brother.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
wait,
my God.
That's why I was feeling. Oh, I love it. Oh, I was going to tell you a man was around you earlier, and I was like, she's going to think I'm weird. I don't know if she knows what I do yet.
That's so amazing. Does he want to talk to her?
He just showed up to say hi. Oh, my God. Oh, there's so much stuff going on in the background. Hang on. Give me a second. So, yeah, I saw that name over and over and over again. Came in on my spirit box. And then I saw it 3 times on the way here. And I was like, there's a fucking Greg with me. Like, who
That's
is
amazing.
This?
That's amazing. At least it wasn't my mom. My mom fucking wanted me to fucking take her on tour with
yes!
us.
Yes.
Last time she fucking came through.
Yes.
So.
But do you see, do you, I just showed you how it works, the connections. Mm-hmm. And it's logical. Yeah. It's fucking logical.
Literally, we were just talking about that on the bus.
And you were talking about it. I'm coming to see you. You're connected to me. I'm the point of least resistance because I do this. And he's coming over to say hi to you. Crazy. And who knows that you were going to be my person here, right? And hold on. Fucking Greg. Okay. Wait. I don't have my notepad on me. That's kind of like my...
How you draw on your channel.
Yeah. Hold on. See, and that being loud. Normally I have my noise canceling headphones in. Hey.
No, you're good. It's 3-6 Mafia too, so it's like a seance right now.
Well, I mean, it's the perfect place for us to be then.
Yeah, literally.
Hold on. Yeah. What? Oh, there we go. Essentially, it's just like how proud he is to like be your uncle. Proud he is to do that. Like proud of what you're doing. I think he's gonna accompany you on like your trips and stuff that are like coming up too. So that's okay. What? I don't think he's as big of a cat person as your dad, though. Right? Yeah. He goes like this. I said she told me a story about the dad and like the cats. I said, do you have that soft heart too? He's like, no, not nearly as much. I was like, oh, okay, cool. See, all that happens in like a half of a second. And what? Hold on. Why am I closing my ears? Because I'm trying to think. Wait, hold on. Interesting. Why is Christmas coming up so much? Odd. I guess because it's coming up. I need you to go back and like be with him. Like, are you gonna? Can you do that? Yeah, what's up with that?
My dad?
Yeah, for like Christmas this year. I know it's hard or something, but like it needs to happen.
He's on a kidney transplant list.
Shit. You're the freaking kidney one. That's you, ding dong.
Yeah, the dialysis that you picked up on.
That's you. Oh.
That's crazy.
Okay. I need you to go and be with him. And he's talking about being there because he wants to be by his side and make sure that he's okay. What?
Sweet Greg.
I know. When... I mean... But they don't have, like, a person for the thing yet? Like, they haven't heard any word for the list of the kidney thing yet? Okay, sometimes they go, oh, my God, we haven't. It's going to be 6 months, though. Or, like, you know, that. Mm-hmm. They're talking about... It's weird. It may come into play, but, like, the risk of infection is, mm-hmm. like, that supersedes, like, everything. He's going to be there for him. I asked him, I said, is he going to cross over? Is like something like that. And he essentially told me like, shut the fuck up. So obviously we don't want to go. I mean, we don't want to go there yet, but yeah, just tell your dad he's around him. Got it. It's a big thing. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yep. Yay. Mini reading randomly. Yay.
I love that.
Told
Greg.
You.
We love Greg.
Isn't that random? That's wild, y'all.
That is.
I
that
love
that. Really cool. We love that.
I love spirits. They're so fun. And it's like today.
No, you're fine. Listen, my dad's got fucking 2 feet. I don't even know how he's still here. 2 feet in the grave. I don't know how he's still here.
Exactly. Mine's already dead. They're just going to party together. And when we all hang out, they're going to be having a party.
Literally.
Can I tell
cheers
you?
To all our dads partying. Yep, cheers to dads.
Wait, can I tell you one more thing?
Yeah.
So whenever you go and you cross over, like, I'm not saying it's happening. I can't say it's happening. But what ends up happening is, remember that when you're born, you come into this body and you have all these family coming around you to like help you as a baby come in. Like, I remember you're this large soul and this tiny little, you know, nugget of meat, right? So you're not actually a baby, you're this expansive universal thing. But anyways, whenever you go and you cross over, you have these spirits waiting for you to love you and take you home as well. So you're never alone on either side.
That's very heartwarming.
Yeah. You labor in and you labor out and each side is met with love.
Aww.
There you go.
We love that. And on that note,
yep.
Before she starts reading any more shit.
I know. No more Gregs.
We are out of here. Love you guys. Mm-hmm. Love you, Amy. Thank you so much. And
I love you too.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. We will see you guys next week. Bye.